afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Pacific Basin conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask the questions. Instructions will be provided at that time. If any participants require assistance at any time, please press the star followed by zero on your telephone for the operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Andrew Bromhead. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon from Hong Kong. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We, as you will know by now, have made a significant announcement last night in relation to our Ro-Ro business and to the impairment charge of $190 million, which is a non-cash impairment charge, and that is most likely to be reflected in our results for the 6 months ended 30th of June 2012. What I'd like to do is to run through some of the key facts in this, which is what I did this morning at a similar call at 8:30, and then invite you to ask any other specific questions that you may have. The key question in your mind is probably what on earth has happened in the Ro-Ro sector since we gave our announcements, annual results announcements in the beginning of March this year and our Q1 trading update in April of this year. A high proportion of the global Ro-Ro fleet operates in the European market, and as you will be very aware, the protracted debt crisis and the continued macroeconomic and political uncertainties are significantly delaying the prospects of a recovery in demand and the possibility of the opening up of new Ro-Ro routes. As a result, operators' demand for long or medium and short-term chartered vessels has significantly reduced in the last few months. And this problem is further exacerbated by the inflow of new building deliveries into an already oversupplied larger Ro-Ro sector, by which we mean those vessels over 2,700 lane meters. And this problem is evident from the growing number of idle vessels globally, which does include the two vessels that we have which are currently laid up in the United Kingdom at the moment, pending securing acceptable employment. So this immediate mounting challenges has led the board to reassess the prospects for these larger Ro-Ro vessels that we operate, and in particular we have focused on the likely future earnings of our six vessels and the consequential impact on their valuations. You'll be aware that in August 2011 we reported a Ro-Ro related impairment of $80 million, which was charged into last year's interim results. Now, at that time, we had anticipated a slow but gradual recovery in Ro-Ro earnings back to pre-financial crisis levels in 2008. Now, we still held this view at the time of our 2011 annual results announcement and at the time of our 2012 first quarter trading update. But given the current European market situation, we've now downgraded our Ro-Ro earnings outlook to reflect a much flatter expected recovery in charter rates, and that these rates are not likely to exceed 75% of that 2008 peak. Now, in coming to our conclusions, the market value of Ro-Ro vessels does not give us much useful guidance, because the sale and purchase market for Ro-Ro vessels has really become particularly difficult over these last few months, and there have been no comparable transactions since November 2009. So in the words of some of the brokers that we talked to, the sale and purchase market we can categorize as being dysfunctional at the current time. So taking these two factors together, the board has downgraded its outlook for the long-term earnings of our Ro-Ro fleet and consequently the Ro-Ro business. Now, this impairment of $190 million does represent the board's current best estimate of the vessel's value in use over their expected life. The dysfunctional state of the RoRo market has required significant judgment to determine the amount of this impairment. Long-term daily vessel earnings are a key sensitivity in calculating this impairment, and to give you an idea of that, you have an approximately $30 million adjustment for every $1,000 equivalent decrease or increase in the daily vessel earnings assumption. If we look at the impact of this going forward, the impairment is, as we mentioned at the beginning, a non-cash impairment. The effect of the impairment is effectively to accelerate depreciation on the vessels. And as a result, it will reduce the daily depreciation of our RoRo vessels to approximately 50%, or about $3,000 per day. This will result in an aggregate reduction in depreciation charges of about $6.6 million per year. And if we look at the full year basis, we estimate that the daily vessel cost will range between roughly $11,100 per day and about $15,800 per day. Now that is including operating expenses, depreciation, allocated finance costs, and direct overheads. Where the actual daily charge ends up depends on whether the vessels are in operation or in layup. And clearly, the continued intention of management is to look to seek employment opportunities for these vessels. In terms of strategy, the board recognizes that the original premise for diversifying into the RoRo sector as a tonnage provider is no longer compelling. We do not have our own route network to fall on for the employment of the vessels, and therefore we are fully exposed to the current period of severe weakness in this sector. And as a consequence of the above reassessment of the prospects for our RoRo business, we no longer regard RoRo shipping to be a core activity of Pacific Basin. However, in view of the dysfunctional conditions in the sale and purchase market for RoRo vessels, an exit from this segment in the early term is unrealistic. So accordingly, we will look to manage our RoRo investments and exit the sector in an economically rational manner that maximizes the possible value that we can secure for shareholders over the medium term. Now, this will take time, require patience, and may also require some additional investment in initiatives and ventures to unlock trading opportunities for these vessels, such as maybe making some improvements to the vessels or maybe looking at some sort of joint operating arrangement. In terms of where we are now for the overall business, we have commented in the statement that the dry bulk business, continues to remain challenged. Spot rates are discounted and low rates at the current time. You know, we have used the term that the dry bulk market is in crisis. We use that at the beginning of this year, and these are words we don't use lightly. But on that, I will close the formal part of the presentation and invite questions from the participants.
So, operator, may you open the floor for the Q&A?
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll now begin the question and answer section. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. As a reminder, if you are using the speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selection. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. Please wait for a moment for the first question. Mr. Broomhead, we have the first question. This comes from Jing Yang from the company of Lawyers List. Thank you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Mr. Boomstead. I have two questions.
Hello.
First, hello. First is that will PAC Basin diversify again? And my second question is about dry bulk. Earlier this year, you said that the company is looking for opportunities to buy second-hand Hanseatic vessels. And when do you think is the right timing for this purchase? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In terms of diversification, I think it's worth just going back and addressing that. When the board looked to identify potential diversifications, that was back in 2007, 2008. What we could recognize at that time was that the dry bulk sector was likely to take a significant correction downwards on the significant over-ordering of ships, which we envisage would result in a dramatic reduction in the earnings ability of vessels. What we were looking to do as a board then was to identify diversification into businesses that had nothing to do with the BDI and could produce cash flows which would support the business in a relatively weak dry bulk market. In terms of the diversifications that were undertaken, as we've just described, the RoRo's has not proved to be successful, and as such, the board now accepts that and is looking at the appropriate time to make an appropriate exit. We also diversified into the towage segment, and that is achieving the objectives that we had set out, in that it is producing a profit and cash contribution at a time of weakness in the global dry bulk market. So in terms of diversity, what we wish to do going forward is to concentrate on our areas of strength, and it is clear to us internally that strength lies in understanding the dry bulk market and looking to make investments at the right time, which obviously bridges into the second part of your question. You're correct, we've made a number of statements about patiently waiting to invest in dry bulk vessels. What we can see at the moment is the market remains weak, and that Pacific Basin, with its strong balance sheet, cash position, its low borrowings, is well positioned to be able to look to make investments with suitable assets as and when those assets become available in the market. We haven't made any announcements of any investments at the current time. We are still patiently waiting, as you can see from the movements in the various constituent elements of the BDI. The market remains challenging. And for many companies, as we commented in the announcement, the view is that significant contractions in funding in the dry bulk shipping market will challenge a number of ship owners, many of whom are facing quite challenging corporate earnings and cash positions. So we will be looking for opportunities over these coming months as they materialize. Thank you.
Okay, so specifically speaking, what do you think is low enough to buy second-hand dry bulk vessels?
It comes down to, it's not just the price, it comes down to the type of ship that's available, which means its age, where it's manufactured, how it's equipped, and a view on the technical capabilities of the ship. Clearly at the moment, as with all shipping areas, there is downward pressure on value in view of the weak sentiment. From our perspective, we do wait to find ships which have the right operating characteristics, and in this current market, there are not necessarily a significant number of vessels which are available. We don't have a specific dollar number at which we will transact at and which which we would not transact at. So it does come down to, and if you like, an iterative reassessment when each of these vessels comes into the market.
So Pacific Basin is still waiting?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we have a next question. It comes from Ms. Candy Chow from the company of Apple Daily. Thank you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Mr. Broomhand, this is Candy Chow from Apple Daily. I would like to ask that what is the market value for the rural vessels of your company nowadays, and what is the reasonable price that you expect for these vessels? And the next question is, do you foresee that in the second half of the year, the dry bulk market will have any improvement? As you know that the China central government had already stimulated the economy by speed up the infrastructure project. So do you foresee this kind of action can do any help to the dry bulk market? Thank you.
Okay. In relation to the, you know, the market value of the RoRo vessels, the big challenge right now is that since there haven't been any comparable transactions since November 2009, it's actually pretty difficult for the brokers to give an estimate as to what the fair value is of these vessels, and that has been one of the challenges for the board in trying to assess what the correct level of impairment is. So I'm afraid we can't give you a specific number, because even if you went and spoke to a specialist broker, I don't think you would be able to get an accurate assessment from them as to what a fair market value is for vessels in this current environment. So in deriving the impairment of $190 million, we've placed more emphasis on what an assessment of the discounted cash flows of the vessels are from, you know, based on where we see earnings likely to increase or develop to over the life of the vessel. And as I said, we no longer see those vessel earnings rising up to their pre-crisis highs. In terms of the outlook for the second half of the year and for dry bulk, I mean, we've commented in here that at the current time we have depressed spot earnings for the dry bulk shipping sector overall, and that there are challenges for funding for all ship owners at the current time. So those that do not have a strong balance sheet and significant cash resources on their balance sheet will be facing a pretty difficult time. As you know, there remains the excess ship supply. I think in terms of coming back to you with more detail on our views on the second half, what we'd like to do is to expand upon that on the 1st of August, when we give our considered first half review of the year and outlook at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone now. And Mr. Broomhead, we have our next question. It comes from Keith Willis from South China Morning Post. Thank you. Please go ahead with your question.
Afternoon, Andrew. A couple of questions. The total impairment, what proportion does that equate to the amount of money you actually spent on the vessels? Apart from the actual market conditions in Europe, do you see any changes on the regulatory side that actually could improve the prospects for RoRo's once the economic conditions improve? And in terms of the dry bulk side, last year the Handys made a profit of about $43 million in the first half. Are you prepared to give any kind of indication as to whether or not that's likely to be higher or probably lower in the first half this year?
Thank you. So in relation to the total amount of impairment, it stands at about 45% of the original investment cost. In terms of the the market conditions, right now, in terms of looking for upsides to help, I'm afraid there's not really any great signs of assistance coming through from any areas. I mean, what is needed to see the RoRo market improving in Europe is some stability, some political stability, some confidence coming back into the consumers through government programs that people buy into, and for the operators who are ploughing the existing routes at the moment, for them to have seen a period of recovery and increasing demand for their vessels, because at the moment the vessels which are operating are well below their capacity, so it's difficult for them to even consider wanting to take on large additional shipping capacity when their utilization remains low. So you can see there's quite a few things that need to take place, and the board's view is that those aren't happening in the short term, hence the reassessment that earnings rates are likely to improve slowly and not to reach their pre-global financial crisis of 2008 peak. In terms of the dry bulk market, I mean, the announcement that we've made is very much focused on the RoRo impairment, so we would prefer to address discussions over the specifics of first half performance when we make our interim results announcement, which will be on the 1st of August.
Thanks very much. As a couple of follow-up questions, do you see any opportunities in this part of the world for RoRo development? There has been talk about Vietnam and also the possibility of RoRo's operating cross straits between Taiwan and China. And the second question is, given the way that your share price performed today, what's your message to investors?
Okay, so in terms of opportunities, then probably you would have picked up before, we are looking at all available ideas to try and find employment. You'll be aware that the company participated in a joint venture to operate two RoRo ships in the Gulf of Mexico. If you like, that was one example of trying to think outside the obvious employment opportunities of Europe. Asia clearly has significant coastline and significant trade, which are obviously two key components to building a RoRo market. And the Cross Straits and Vietnam, these are areas where there is undoubtedly possibility, but the question remains on when the cargo is sufficient, or could the cargo be sufficient to justify employment of vessels and the establishment of some sort of trade. And there clearly are political considerations that need to be sorted out within countries for those trade routes to become established. So they represent viable alternatives. Whether they can become viable in the very short term, that would be a challenge, but over the medium term, then yes, these are very much alternatives which could represent interesting employment prospects for RoRo vessels. In terms of the share price movements, then obviously what we have announced last night is a very significant announcement. What we would highlight, as we highlighted in the announcement itself, is that the balance sheet of the company remains very strong. We would emphasize the cash balance of the company with, at the end of May, unaudited cash balances of $662 million, borrowing standing at $860 million, and net borrowings ratio 14.5%. In this market, such a balance sheet leaves the company with great strength from which to look to invest the cash resources into the dry bulk business, which again in this statement we've reiterated that the board's intention is to look for investment opportunities within dry bulk and to execute those when those opportunities arise. So the company is still in the same cash position post-announcement as it was pre-announcement, and will be looking to deploy these resources in the area that we believe we've demonstrated to shareholders we understand best, which is the dry bulk shipping sector. Thank you.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press the star followed by one at this time. As a reminder, if you're using the speaker equipment, you will leave the handset before making your selection. Thank you. We have our next question comes from Ms. Alpha Mook from the company of HKEJ. Thank you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, this is Alpha. I'm just wondering, is there any further pressure for you to reduce your daily rates for your ro-ro vessels? Because I can see that maybe compared to 2012, in 2003, your rate has already been lower than before. And if the fees is going to be lower, any further impairment may be needed for your ro-ro? And second question is about the exit strategy, because you mentioned you would like to, leave the market, right? So any plan for selling your vessels right now? Thank you.
Okay. Well, in terms of the earnings, then in the board took note of the recent market transactions, and there aren't really very many of those to go on, but what we've seen is that the earnings that vessels have been able to achieve have been below earnings rates that we had been achieving, and the period of time for these charters is also reducing. So all of this is indicating a weak market at the moment, and undoubtedly the European debt situation, macroeconomic situation, all that weakness is together contributing to this low level of demand. What the board is looking to do is to find whatever opportunities are out there which would represent acceptable employment, and that will mean, as well as looking in Europe, as in looking to other areas and other ideas as well. In terms of the exit strategy, the fact that the European market is in a weak state at the moment, and that most ro-ros are employed within the European market, has resulted in what we can categorize, or brokers categorize, as being a dysfunctional market at the moment, with really no sale and purchase transactions going on. With that backdrop, we've therefore concluded it is unlikely that we would be looking for a rapid or quick exit out of the ro-ro market, because we don't believe that would maximize the return for shareholders. So what we've stated is that we will look to manage this process of exiting and undertake it in an economically rational way, such that we have found an exit over a medium period of time, although it's impossible to put a precise date on that. Thank you.
Sorry, so do you mean you don't have any plan to lower the fees, the earnings further? Because I see that's the capacity, actually, you can't cover all the capacity, right? So do you have any plan to lower the fees in the future?
In this market where there is limited demand, then It's not so much a case of securing employment through simply lowering rates. Low demand means that not everybody is looking for a ship of the specifications which we are operating at the current time. So it's not a question of rate.
Okay.
It's a question of the demand for the ships themselves. The few transactions which have taken place in the last few months, you know, have been for lower rates, but we don't, it's not from the lack of ability of us to be flexible on rates that we aren't able to find employment at the moment. It's much more a function of the lack of demand for the ship at this current weak economic time in Europe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have a next question comes from Ms. Jing Yang again from the company of Lawyers List. Thank you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Mr. Brosehead. Thank you very much. So my question actually was just asked, but I still want to follow up. Do you see the possibility of future impairment charges before the company completely exiting the railroad sector?
Obviously, a difficult one to answer that. The board has looked very hard at the quantum of the impairment charge made, and as we've indicated, through showing the sensitivity to small changes in the earnings assumptions and the impact that has on the amount of the impairment which we've made. We feel that the amount of the impairment, which is substantial, does represent a very low resultant value for our vessels. One way of looking at it is to say, well, if you were to go and order some new vessels, would they be cheaper than these or would they be more expensive? Again, it's the sale and purchase market and the new building market, which, you know, there's no activity. So from that perspective, it's very difficult to really judge that. But we think it's highly unlikely that you would see a comparable ship being built at the implied vessel values that we hold these vessels at on our balance sheet now. So we think that these values are probably more akin to a valuation that you could say might be associated with more of a distressed situation. And it's because of that that we're not looking to rapidly exit out of this at the current time. But we'll need to see what happens to the market. As we've emphasized in the announcement and on this call, it's the state of the recovery of the European market which really holds the key to the likely progress that we can make in terms of managing in an economically rational way the exit out of this with a view to trying to achieve as much value as we can for shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you. So let me reassure that it actually depends on first the recovery of Europe and also the price, the value of rural ships. Am I correct?
That's correct. I mean, the accounting standards, when you do an impairment, you're required to look at the higher of the discounted value of the cash flows, in other words, the European market for this business, and secondly, what the fair market value of the ships is. So there's not a lot of fair market value at the moment.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you still have additional questions, please press star 1 on your telephone now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by 1 on your telephone now. Thank you.
Operators, if there's no further more questions, we will now close our conference call. And once again, thank you for joining the Basin conference call. We have a replay on our website, so you can go to our website and hear the replay on this morning call or this afternoon call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Pacific Basin conference call. Thank you for all your participating. You may now disconnect. Thank you.